comfort. Give comfort to my people, says your God. The opening lines of our first reading have such powerful poetry that handles Messiah, and many hymns have been inspired by this passage. This poem, which celebrates the return of the Israelites from Babylonian exiles, came some 500 years before Christ, but it prefigures the coming of Christ, with John the Baptist as the voice crying in the wilderness. It reminds us of 2 Corinthians, where we learn that the God of all consolation comforts us in our afflictions and thus enables us to comfort those who are in trouble with the same consolation we have received from him. Last Sunday's readings urged us to be alert and ready for the coming of the Lord. And today's readings tell us a bit more about how to get ready. As Isaiah tells us, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wasteland a way for our God. In ancient times, when a dignitary or ruler would visit a city, the townspeople would often fix their roads to make the ruler's entry into the town smooth. So we might ask ourselves what road work we need to do this Lenten season. If we look at that part of our lives which we might characterize as a wasteland, what valleys and empty places need filling in? What mountains or obstacles to God need to be leveled? What rough edges need smoothing? If we tend to this road work, Isaiah promises us, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. The glory of the Lord is, of course, made manifest in Jesus Christ. And Mark introduces Jesus in the first line of his gospel. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This simple declarative sentence is freighted with meaning. By telling us it's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark immediately focuses on Jesus as our Savior and long-awaited good news. The Greek term good news, here translated as gospel, was commonly used at the time for military victories. A messenger would come running from the battlefield to announce the good news to nearby towns. But his very appearance would signal the victory before he spoke even a word. Mark uses the term gospel in two ways. Obviously, it points to the written account of Jesus's message. But more importantly, it also refers to the person of Christ. Jesus himself is the good news. His coming marks a new reality, a new beginning. Now, as you know, Mark is the most economical of all the evangelists, and he wastes no time with genealogies or infancy narratives, but gets right down to business by introducing to us Jesus's precursor, John the Baptist. And his quote from Isaiah is the only time in his gospel that he directly cites the Hebrew scriptures. Mark then outlines the mission of John and Jesus by splicing together passages from Exodus, Isaiah, and Malachi to tell us that preparations are in order for a new deliverer, the suffering servant, who will bring the nations from the darkness of idolatry and sin into the light of Mount Zion. The passages are linked together by a common call to prepare the way of the Lord. John is the herald who proclaims the way. he tells us that the way is a new exodus, while Jesus is the Lord and the suffering servant who will accomplish it. John the Baptist was and is a strange and beguiling figure. We're told he was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt and fed on locusts and wild honey. Garments of animal skin were the distinctive attire of the prophets. And bizarrely enough, locusts were one of the few insects considered kosher under Mosaic law. This detail shows us that John is faithful to the Torah and highlights his renunciation of worldly comfort. The description of his disciplined lifestyle, which included fasting, seems to suggest that he got his true sustenance from heaven. Despite, or maybe because of, his radical way of living, people were flocking to him for a baptism of repentance. People were literally turning their backs on the temple in Jerusalem and going out into the wilderness to come closer to God. And John tells us in no uncertain terms that he is not the Messiah, but is pointing them towards Jesus. Our gospel today finishes by telling us that while John baptized the people with water, Jesus will baptize those he loves with the Holy Spirit. Our baptism in the Spirit is not a once and then it's done affair. It is ongoing and is reflected by our living faith in Christ, by our walking the way of Christ, by our continued willingness to change the wastelands of our lives into the straight ways of the Lord.
Father Campbell, and all who are gathered here, it is my privilege to present Anna Chalenza and Matthew Morrell as candidates for reception into the full communion of the Catholic Church. Anna was baptized in the Episcopal Church, and Matthew was baptized in the Evangelical tradition. They came to Holy Trinity several months ago to explore the possibility of becoming Catholic. They have reflected on the meaning of their baptism and learned about what it means to live the Christian life in the Catholic tradition. These conversations have led them to want to profess their faith with us today and be received into the Catholic Church. After the act of reception, which brings them into the Catholic communion, they will be confirmed and then will share Eucharist with us for the first time. Anna and Matthew, please come forward with your sponsors, Anthony Daldana and Jessica Knight.
Anna and Matthew, of your own free will, you have been asked to be received into the full communion of the Catholic Church. You have made your decision after careful thought under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I invite you now in the presence of this community to profess the Catholic faith. In this faith, you will be one for us for the first time at the Eucharistic table of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sign of our Church's unity. And now I invite everyone to join me in the Nicene Creed, which you will find in the inside cover of your blue hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, consummate light from light, true God from true God, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit is man made creature, became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, served to death and was buried, and rose again and come for a day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is world and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.